Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The guys that aren't him are really good defenders. I mean, the Carter kid is really good, and Garrett's really good. And even when you switch off, they've got long defenders, and when he gets to the rim, and you got guys. So what he just did is, you know, we kind of take it for granted a little bit. It's like, oh, look at that neck cute. He's 57. I mean, that's on dead legs and playing the minutes. He played 43 minutes last night. And so it's, it's beyond impressive.
So that's Mike D'Antoni following last night's Rockets win over the Memphis Grizzlies. James Harden had 36 points at halftime. He only had 21 in the second half. What a loser. 57 points on the night. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but in a game where it felt like he shot the ball every time down the floor, it was an efficient 57 points. On a game that was 24 hours after he went 1-for-17 from three-point range, he had 57 points in a game where he shot more than 50% from the field, and he was a respectable 6-of-15 from downtown in that game. Rich, as I mentioned, Amy and I went out and watched the game last night. I got home, jump in the shower. I usually have my phone in there, and I like to listen to something, whether it's a station or a podcast or whatever. And so I put it on the station, and the Six Pack was playing, which is the show we run at night that has sort of the best of during the day. And it was a segment we did yesterday where we were talking about the Rockets and this, in light of the Capella injury, how much pressure there's going to be on James Harden. And it was weird listening to that segment after this game with Harden, because you and I are sitting here going, I can't believe the pressure this is going to put on James Harden. Hell, I was pining for him to try to come up with a Fugazi injury so he missed the All-Star game so he could actually get some rest. I am on the complete opposite side of this now after watching that game last night. I am so intrigued. This is the first game that he's played without Capella and Chris Paul this season.
It's amazing.
And with this relatively new cast of peripheral guys, right? Like the guys who were his supporting cast. Yeah, PJ Tucker's a familiar face. He was on the team last year. But Daniel House.
Yeah, after that,
Gary
it's guys
Clark.
That were on waivers that are in the starting lineup, guys that were in the G League, guys that have been wallowing on the end of the bench that have had a lot of DNPs. It's unbelievable.
Austin Rivers, Nene, who may as well be a new face, as little as he's played because of injuries the last couple years,
right. It
feels like. So after watching this game last night, I am now completely intrigued. I don't want it to be this way heading into, say, late March or early April. I want the full crew back for that. But as long as we know this isn't a Rockets team that's going to get the one seed in the West, I think we're realistic about that. They're not going to be the one seed. I think as a Rockets team, if they can get home court in the first round, then I think you let the chips fall where they may. I am so excited for the next couple weeks of James Harden one-man wrecking crew. I am so excited for this.
And primarily because of that, I'm not as dismissive as you are on the possibilities of how high they could climb seeding-wise in the West. I know it's a lot to ask, but it's not an insurmountable climb. And right now, after last night's win, they jumped into the four seed in the Western Conference right now. It's incredible what he's doing, and I'm with you on...
So you think they could catch the Nuggets or the Warriors?
Well...
Just James Harden.
Gordon should be back by the end of the week. Chris Paul should be back next week.
Yeah.
Clint Capella is going to miss maybe 15 games, best case scenario, 12-15 games.
That's the one that hurts the most.
It does.
And we'll get an update on Clint here in a second.
But getting those guys back combined with what Harden's doing makes, I think, it's almost like having Deshaun Watson at quarterback. All things are possible when you have this transcendent athlete doing things on a level that not only we've rarely seen here in Houston, these are Michael Jordan-type runs that James Harden is on right now. He is in the most rarefied of rarefied NBA air right now with what he's doing. We're hearing about the streak of games where he's scored 30 or more. It's now 17.
Yeah.
17-game stretch where he's averaged now a little over 43 points per game in that 17-game stretch. And we keep hearing about Chamberlain out there at number 20, 1964. He did it 20 games in a row. That's the next thing to overcome. I don't know if this has been underreported.
Oh, hang on, Rich. Well, hold on one second. he will pass. It's going to be a disappointment. If he right. doesn't score 30 points with no Paul
agree.
And no Capella,
I agree.
Like, he's going to break this walking backwards.
I totally agree. 20 in a row or more is yeah. well within his sights.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
Well, what I think has been underreported a little bit until I actually saw a note in the New York Times earlier today. You know what the record is for consecutive 30-point games? Wilt holds it. Take a guess.
Okay, so what was the 20 you were just talking about?
The 20 is like the third longest streak
in
NBA.
Oh, okay, I thought you were saying that was the longest.
Well,
okay.
But that's what I'm saying. It's yeah. sort of been portrayed yeah. as that's the record.
Yeah.
That's not the record. Wilt owns the record.
Yeah.
Care to guess the longest streak in NBA history for 30-plus games, 30-plus points?
He averaged 50 points in a season at one point.
Right.
I'm going to guess it spanned over – did it span over a season?
I don't have the beginning and end
okay,
date.
So,
it's
shorter than 82 is what I'm saying.
Correct.
Okay. I'll say 44.
65.
Okay, yeah.
In 1962, Wilt Chamberlain had a 65-game streak of scoring 30 or more points in a game. He also had a 31-game streak, a separate 25-game streak, and the 20 that Harden's chasing right now.
It's a shame that Wilt played in an era where it's just a lot harder to get the video footage of what he was doing back then. That's the thing. When the kids who are teenagers now are our age 30 years from now, the relevant basketball players for them, both currently and for them historically, which will be all the guys that are playing now,
yeah.
you'll be able to go online and watch all their games if you want to.
Right.
You can't do that with Wilt Chamberlain, because my hot take / just completely sort of uneducated without watching a lot of 60s basketball guess is right. Wilt was able to do that because he's a foot taller than everybody at that time.
He was a completely dominant figure for more basic reasons
yeah.
than Michael Jordan and James Harden. And LeBron James.
I would argue that James doing this is even more... is even more amazing than Jordan or, say, Kobe, because I don't think he's as explosive as athletically as
right.
those two guys are.
Michael needed the eventual help of a Grant brother and a Scottie Pippen and the shooters like Paxson and Kerr to get him over the hump. There were times early in his career in Chicago where he was a one-man band like Harden is right
yeah,
now,
yeah.
but they didn't win a ton of games. Harden, they're the fourth seed in the West right now.
I get it. I'm anxious to watch James score a bunch of points. I'm not sure how many games he's going to win playing by himself. And if they went to
makes it intriguing.
No, but Rich, but just to make this Jordan comparison, just to be clear, like if James, well, you're talking about Michael winning titles. Michael made the playoffs when he was all by himself. I think the Rockets can make the playoffs with James by himself.
I agree.
But the Rockets are not going to win anything big with just James Harden. They need all these guys
back. No,
just like
the Bulls weren't going to win anything big until they got the right pieces around Michael.
Yeah, no, that's...
He was individually brilliant and at times elevated the team because of his brilliance, but it's not enough.
Yeah. And
ultimately,
in the end. And it's not enough for James. That's why I'm saying...
Oh, definitely.
That's why I'm saying, like, this streak without Paul recently, I think it's pretty remarkable. Let's rewind before the Capella injury. The fact that they were going 12-3 without Chris Paul, I don't care who they're playing. Like, you're counting on Chris Paul coming into this season.
And it was a tough 15-game stretch.
Yeah, no, they beat some good teams. They beat the Warriors in that time frame. LeBron hasn't beaten them in L.A. yet. That's the frustrating thing about this Rockets team is they're 25-18, which is okay. It's pretty good. It's good enough to be in the middle of the playoff pack in the West. There's not a lot of room for slippage in the West because there's teams nipping at your heels. But... the frustrating thing about these Rockets is you go look at the 18 losses, they've lost to some crappy teams this year.
Sure they have.
Early in the season when they were still getting their legs underneath them.
After 1-5, they were still only 11-14 after 25 games. It took them a while.
I know, they were losing to bad teams. That's what's frustrating. But even losing to Orlando the other night, you know what I mean? Like, this is a team that's like a week removed from, you know, like 10 days removed from beating the Warriors in Oakland. And then 3 days later, they go up to Portland and they lose by 10 to Portland. I know Portland's a playoff team, but they're in a... But it's more like the losses to Orlando or when they go on the road and lose three straight to Detroit and Cleveland and Washington earlier in the season. Like, they're going to, you know, if the difference between, say, home court in the first round or maybe the difference between a 2 seed versus a 3 seed, you know, one of these things, if they go, they're going to go back and look at their schedule at some point, Rich, when the playoffs roll around and go, God, I can't believe we lost that, and that game.
Yeah.
They're going to look at like 6 games going, I can't believe we lost those. Yeah, I can't believe we got to go on the road for a game seven in this series because we lost those games.
They were adrift for the better part of the first 2 months of this season.
It's the one of the weirdest things.
It is.
It's really, really strange.
Because considering the kind of job, coaching job that Mike D'Antoni is doing now, with presumably less to work with than he had at that point in time, when, as you pointed out, guys named House and Rivers and Chris and Hartenstein and Ennis and Clark are the supporting cast for James Harden and P.J. Tucker.
Well, they're going to be challenged against teams that have anything remotely resembling, I say that, remotely resembling a good big man. Memphis has Marc Gasol, who's been all NBA. So what the hell do I know? Let's get a Clint Capela update here real quick. Capela met with the media before the game yesterday and said he's not sure, at least at this point, at that point yesterday, not sure if he's going to have surgery on his damaged ligament in his right hand.
All I know is that I'm going to try to get back as quick as possible. And that's it. That's it so far. So, but my focus was still trying to get back to the next game, but it kind of hurts still. So, I'm going to see how it feels.
And one more. This is from Mike D'Antoni talking about what they lose without Clint Capela.
33 minutes of all-star level basketball. It's just, you can't make that up. Now, other guys are going to have to step up and play well, and we'll have to figure out different ways, and then we got to get Eric back. That'll help, and get Chris back will help as soon as we can, in the meantime. But you're not going to replace Clem. We're going to just try to do as well as we can to play around. Like I said, I still think we got enough to hang in there until he gets back.
The way that he suffered that injury, Rich, is one of those things I'm like, God, if he just...
Freakish.
If he just, if for those who didn't see it, he didn't hurt it like on the rim. He didn't hurt it on the backboard. It wasn't like he fell awkwardly on it. He was raising his arms up and
for
a lob pass, and his thumb hit the elbow. I think it was the Soviet big guy on Orlando. I forget his last name. But it's one of those things. Like if he lifts his arm an inch to the left, he probably gets he probably damages his thumbnail, not his ligament.
Right.
Or if it's a bad pass, he doesn't lift his arms up at all.
Well, it's been pointed out that Chris Paul suffered the same injury not too long ago, and Capella's talked to him about what it takes to get back, and he missed about 5 weeks when he had the injury. The only thing I'm concerned about, and I'm curious, more concerned, Clint mentioned that I believe today was a day where he was going to get a second opinion. And he was hoping that there was no recommendation for surgery from that second opinion. So hopefully that will not be the case.
Do we know what the delta is of surgery, non-surgery, in terms of when he would be back?
I think it goes from 4 to 6 weeks to almost double that.
Okay, so 4 to 6 weeks is the minimum right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Surgery, that would be an issue.
Yeah.
That would be a major issue. All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.